7:14 now, beautiful stretch of weather, bone dry, not as cool as I think I would like it. Highs near 80 degrees, but all in all, pretty doggone nice, just in time for the Swifties to invade. I don't mean that in a negative way, to visit, I should say, as Eugene Green, New Orleans City Council member, joins us. How you doing, Eugene?
Good morning, Tommy. I'm just doing fine this morning.
How important is this?
To you and to yourself.
Thank you, sir. How important is this Taylor Swift concert to the city?
Even I didn't know the impact until a meeting last week that we had. I didn't know three concerts, 55,000 people each. But here's the interesting part, that there are so many people who come in town who don't necessarily plan to go to the concert, but who just want to be in town for the excitement. The way that they have to organize the merchandise sales, the way that they have to organize or getting back and forth to the hotel, just incredible preparation for it. But we as a city are a city that can host three major concerts three nights in a row. Our hotels are sufficient and they're going to be filled. It is an incredible thing to see in terms of being on the inside and just seeing how much preparation goes on. We're talking about Homeland Security, New Orleans Police Department, Public Works. We're talking about agencies that work in social services in certain areas. So it's just something that's mobilizing the entire city. But I will tell you this, Tommy, meetings happen behind the scenes, including that press conference, but there was a meeting before the press conference. We as a city are ready for this large event, just as we are ready for many other large events. It's going to be an exciting time.
Is this going to be a good run-through for the Super Bowl?
This is going to be even bigger than the Super Bowl in some respects when you think about the fact that there's three concerts in a row. The hotels are going to be sold out for three nights in a row. And again, some of the issues that are out there, security and the like, and crowd control. Yeah, it's going to be a good run for the Super Bowl, but we're going to do well on the Super Bowl. We've had this is the 11th, the record tying in terms of the number of the place that has held the most Super Bowls. So we're going to be ready for it, but this is additional practice in this different time right now because there is a different security issue that we have to address. You know,
you said you didn't know until the meeting. Are you trying to tell me, Eugene Green, that you're not a Swiftie?
Well, great. I have a granddaughter.
Yeah, there you go.
She didn't tell me.
Yeah.
She didn't tell me 55,000 in a row, like three days in a row. You know, and wait, what she didn't tell me was all of the people who come in town who don't have any plan to go to the game itself, who just come in town to enjoy. So we've had to involve a lot of city departments in that. But at the end of the day, we're ready. Even safety and permits, for example, don't just set up and try to sell some product on a corner, because that's not legal, and we are going to have people enforcing that. Get the right permits, be in the right place, do the right thing to those who want to try to take advantage and hurt the others who have done the right thing.
And look, I'm all for Taylor Swift. I think she's a marvelous young woman, and I just don't know the music so much. I know the business angle of it, and it's huge for the city. It's huge for wherever she goes.
The business angle is an incredible angle, and yes, we're going to do it right. You know, we do it right very often, and it's going to be maybe the kind of thing that gets us other events, maybe gets us another Super Bowl, because right after the Super Bowl, we're going to be competing for the next opportunity, the next vacant opportunity. And I think that our showing here, plus the Super Bowl, plus, of course, in the meantime, we're going to have the Sugar Bowl and we're going to have other parades. We'll just continue to show everyone that we can handle large events. So I'm looking forward to it.
So let's talk about the budget hearings that's gone on so forth, things that have gotten your attention, things that you think that you agree with, maybe things you don't agree with so much.
Well, the one thing that has gotten my attention more than anything else is that, of course, everybody who presents wants additional money, because that's just the way things work, whether it be inflation, whether it be the cost of certain products, whether it be the employee, the staff raises that we're giving to city employees, 2.5%, there's a demand for more money. So we've had to work a little bit harder because we as a city council heard the concerns of our residents relative to insurance and increased assessments, and we did not roll forward our millage, which means there was no additional revenue due to millage. So we've got to make the tough decisions relative to the fact that there are demands, but not the revenues there to have those increases that people want. So we have to be responsible. We want to keep money in the coffers to handle issues such as major storms that might come up. And, of course, you've seen what happened in Texas, North Carolina, Florida. You just can't rely on FEMA being there immediately. There are immediate concerns that have to be addressed. So we're going to have that storm reserve. We're going to have the monies reserved that we need to have to cover the storms. But the bottom line is that, in general, there's not additional money available because of the fact that we held taxes. But we did hold taxes in place. So those who advocated for it, they won. No new taxes with us meant no new taxes. And at the end of the day, it means that you make tough decisions on the budget front. But I want to invite the public to view the city council budget hearings, to participate by just simply going online, doing a search of New Orleans City Council. And everything that we're doing is online.
You mentioned permits and what's the other one? Inspections and permits and enforcement with just setting up your this and setting up your that. You're confident, Councilman, that there's going to be enough people to enforce that and make sure that none of that goes on? Or at least it's limited, not none.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't say none.
I know what you mean. The bottom line
never
is
say
that
never and never say none, right?
Right. There are going to be some people out there who are going to set up, and they're not going to have their permit displayed, and they may not be asked. But the bottom line is that why take that risk? Call the Office of Safety and Permits or task down City Hall and see if you can get a permit to do business at a particular location so that you don't run afoul of the law. But there will always be someone who tries to do something that's a little bit behind the scenes. But they hurt other businesses. And I'm a strong proponent of if certain businesses do it right, if they get the permits that they need, if they have the health concerns addressed that they need, that they should be able to do business. But the bottom line is that safety and permits, because there's also a zone in place that restricts your ability to sell certain products that compete with those who have paid for the things that they are supposed to do correctly. The bottom line is that it's the Office of Safety and Permits, NOLA.gov/safety and permits, or just stop in the city hall, speak to a person, and do the right thing.
I believe it's Harvard alum Eugene Green, is it not?
Harvard alum,
proud. I bet.
But in the city of New Orleans, I'll tell you, St. Augustine High School and Harvard, because the St. Augustine High
School. That
carries
more weight. That carries more weight than the Harvard does, I guarantee you that. 7:21, right. We'll pick it up when we come back with Eugene Green, New Orleans City Council member. Time now, traffic, WWL. 7:26 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by St. Aug, Purple Knight, Eugene Green, New Orleans City Council member, which, of course, here trumps a Harvard education. Talking about the Taylor Swift concert, security in the city, budget, et cetera. When it comes to public works and streetlight repairs and so forth, what would you like to see? Let me ask you this, council member. Where would you like to see, if you were to triage improvement from different city departments, what would you rank at the top of the list? Streetlights, et cetera. What would you like to see taken care of? Maybe top three.
Well, when you say improvements, I will just make it clear that the streetlights are being replaced. I mean, there was a time when in New Orleans there were 4,000 lights out, and now we're less than 1,000. There are just a lot of lights throughout the city, tens of thousands of them. I would certainly like to see more done, but I will tell you, it's not because the money's not available many times. It's because the companies that want to do business with us don't have the personnel. You can't just go up on a lift and change a light. It could be a ballast, so you have to have qualified personnel. But All-Star Electric is making repairs every day, and I think that everyone will agree out there, minus maybe the interstates, which is not just New Orleans alone responsibility. But the bottom line is that I'd like to see more of the streetlights in place. But I will tell you this. People are concerned about the streetlights many times in their neighborhoods because they're concerned about crime. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you that New Orleans has the highest rate of decrease in crime, in violent crime, in the nation. Shootings, armed robberies, homicides, and carjackings are all down nearly 40%, 24 versus 23. I still sympathize with, understand, and will always remember the victims of crime. And I just want to say that we're going in the right direction. But I would say in the area of streetlights, look, in terms of city streets, we will never, ever repair every street in the city of New Orleans. Our streets sink at a certain rate per year. But the bottom line is that I do see, and I don't know if you see my newsletter, I try to highlight the fact that many, many blocks are getting fixed. But I recognize as you drive throughout the city, it looks like the work is never going to be ended. We can do better in terms of getting more street work done. That involves working with the contractors and also getting more personnel in the areas where we need to get them. We have throughout the city of New Orleans an unfortunate, and it's private sector too. I don't know where everybody is. We don't have people working in certain areas where they used to work, and it's harder to get them. But we do have improvements 2023 versus 2022 based on the reports that people are making, our department heads are making. I think we're moving in the right direction. If there's any area in which I'd like to see some very measurable change, it's in filling the vacancies within City Hall. We still have hundreds of vacancies combined, including in our New Orleans Police Department.
Let me get this real quick, Councilmember, if I can, about the early voting's underway. Anything on the ballot in Orleans Parish you wanted to bring people's attention to?
Well, there is an initiative relative to a workers' bill of rights and also an initiative relative to creating a housing trust fund. The housing trust fund committee, the housing trust fund issue would allow there to be more addressing of affordable housing needs in our city, providing resources for home ownership and also for rental assistance and to invest with investors who are doing work in affordable housing. And there's also a workers' bill of rights that the city council passed to give an opportunity for persons who are concerned about issues involving workers to have a say in making sure that those things change. So I encourage our citizens to look at those two New Orleans issues and to go out and vote early. You can vote all the way through next Tuesday, 8:30 a.m. until 6 p.m., just not Sunday, at one of five locations. You can find those locations by going to the Secretary of State's office. Please vote.
Thank you, Councilman. Appreciate your time. We'll take a break. We come back. We're going to talk to Barry Keim, LSU climatologist, about hellacious rain. Right now it's time for WWL First News. 7:45, quarter till 8, bone dry for the next, I guess, 10 days as we welcome in Barry Keim, LSU climatologist, not an official meteorological term, but would that be accurate, Barry?
Yeah, very much so.
Bone dry for the next 10 days, highs around 80 degrees, so really nice weather. I mean, it's not very Halloweenish or no frost on the pumpkin like that, but when you think about it, plenty of sunshine is kind of like Las Vegas weather, although having lived there, it's a little bit cooler there this time of year. But we're getting way, way off the topic. How you been, Barry?
I'm good. This is Chamber of Commerce weather, man. What are you talking about?
It really is. Out here. Now, did you tell me something about the Chalmette Owls? Was that you?
That was me. I need to hear about this extra point that beat Chalmette.
It was back in the glory days, man. I'm going to tell you what. It was at Haas Memphis, I believe. It was not, because the senior season was at Chalmette, but it was a defensive struggle, and thankfully there was a hero, number 67, to kick that extra point and win the game 7-6. But, hey, look, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about hellacious rains. Tell me what's going on here with the climate. I saw a story by David Mitchell at NOLA.com about hellacious rains hitting Louisiana in 2021 and new research showing how bad it really was. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so this is a storm that it caused over $1 billion in damage in Texas and Louisiana. It caused five deaths. 2,700 homes were damaged in this event. And nobody even knows about it. And it's just kind of bizarre how so many things just flip under the radar.
Yeah, let me go back for a second. Under the radar, nice choice of words there. But this was mid-May. This is not a hurricane or anything. This was just something how did it come about in May 2021?
Well, think about May 3rd, 1978, and May 1995 in New Orleans. May is a weird month that the ingredients can come together and produce these colossal storms. That's just crazy. So this one, the one that we wrote this paper on, was on is in May 19th and 20th, 2021. It was produced by a system we call a mesoscale convective system. Very technical meteorological term. There's all sorts of things that go into it. Bottom line is that generally at nighttime we get this we call a low level jet coming off the Gulf of Mexico up into the United States. And it just transports all this moisture and intersects with a thunderstorm, and it produces a massive amount of rain across usually small areas. In this case, an area south of Beaumont picked up 20 inches. Lake Charles had 15 inches. Baton Rouge had a couple of places that were 10 inches or more. And all this rain fell in like 6 hours. And that's what causes the big problem. These rains, we've seen bigger rain numbers, right, over a number of days. But when you concentrate that much rain into a short period of time, like 6 or 12 hours, the natural environmental systems can't deal with it. And we produce these colossal floods where people die, unfortunately. And, we've had lots of these big rainstorms in recent years. I mean, if you think back, Hurricane Harvey just a few years ago, over 50 inches of rain in 5 days. And then Imelda had like 40 to 45 inches in 2 to 3 days. And, of course, we have our August 2016 flood where we were at about 31, 32 inches of rain in 2 days. Just crazy. And, of course, more recently, Hurricane Helene, with these heavy rains over North Carolina some of the preliminary work we've looked at, we're looking at about, you know, several places that had 30 inches or more in a relatively short period of time. So this is becoming a pattern at this particular point.
All right, let me take a quick break. We'll pick it up when we come back, talking to Barry Keim, LSU climatologist, about the storm of May 2021. If I remember correctly, the legislature was in session and they had a big vote that they were trying to get everybody in there to take, and I don't remember exactly what it was about, but I think that's the storm we were talking about. 7:49 now, traffic, WWL. 7:54, 6 till 8, Tommy Tucker talking to Barry Keim, our friend, LSU climatologist. You know, we watch these storms in the Gulf, the hurricanes, and we follow them for days and days and days, and we worry about the path and storm surge, and in a lot of cases, torrential rainfall, which causes as more damage than, maybe not deaths or flooding, but more damage than does the actual storm itself. However, in this case, this was mid-May 2021, blew up overnight, Barry. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's entirely accurate. I mean, most of the rain fell late in the evening and into the wee hours of the morning. And it's just amazing how much rain can be produced in some of these events. And it seems to be getting worse. That's the thing. And what this kind of points to is the sea surface temperatures in the Gulf of Mexico have been, you know, running really, really warm, well above normal for the last few years. And this has been a recurring pattern. And then, of course, the temperatures have been warmer. And by virtue of that, and this is getting into some science, but there's something called the Clausius-Clapeyron equation. And again,
you want to bring science into the conversation about the climate? What?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Well, okay. And yourself.
So for every degree that the temperature is warmer, it can carry 4 to 5% more moisture. So for every degree that the climate warms, that's 4 to 5% more moisture that these storms can carry, and ultimately produce that, produce rain and put it on the ground. So there is something to that, and it, like I said, these storms like Hurricane Helene just a few weeks ago, 30 inches of rain over parts of North Carolina. I mean, that's crazy. And we're seeing these big rain totals, occur over and over again. And just think about New Orleans. When I was growing up, neutral ground parking wasn't even a thing, and now it's commonplace. And obviously there are other, confounding factors that lead to that, but nevertheless, it does seem that the climate is producing more rainfall, and we do have some studies to back that up. I mean, we're looking, storms seem to be getting shorter in duration and more intense over time. And when I say over time, like over the last 50, 60, 70 years, there is a pattern in the climate that is discernible, and we're able to pick it up.
So to bring recollection into it, not science, it seems to me as though the big May 3rd flood was, I hate to use the phrase watershed, but you can't talk about any of this without making a bad pun. That is what opened, again, the floodgates on all of these. I'm sorry, Barry, but you can't help it.
You're on a roll, man.
There are so many metaphors. But it seemed like as though that's what started these 1-in-100-year rainfalls. Is there any scientific evidence to say that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, oddly enough, I did my master's thesis on heavy rainfalls in New Orleans, and you're exactly right. May 3rd, 1978 was the start of these really big, colossal rainstorms across the New Orleans area anyway. Prior to that, we had a kind of a quiet period for about 30 years. You have to go all the way back into the 50s, really, the 40s and 50s. Before you start seeing, big storms like we've seen more recently. And we just let our guard down and as a result, then when these things pop up again, and they're probably getting even worse now than they were, back in the 20s and 30s, and we have some serious problems. I mean, land continues to subside and we continue to, build in places we probably shouldn't be building in. And then we have all these problems across the city of New Orleans.
I remember seeing, and for those of you, we apologize for the connection that Barry's on, but there's nothing you can do. It's a connection. He's not on speakerphone. We've already checked into that. We just want to hear what he has to say, so we appreciate his time. Barry, I saw a picture, and I saved it on the phone because it was of flooding after a torrential rainstorm, and the houses were flooded except for the one in the area that was raised. And it seems as though back in the day we were building raised houses because we live in a bowl, and then we got away from it. Is there something that to that when it comes to building that maybe people ought to start building raised houses again?
Well, yeah, I mean, it makes perfect sense to do that. And then, you know, to take the next step, you know, if you live in South Louisiana or really anywhere in Louisiana, you probably should have flood insurance, whether you think you need it or not. Just have it. But yeah, but the building codes certainly play a big role. I'm in Old Metairie. I'm on the ridge, and my house is built up off the ground. Now I still could flood. I mean, it's still a possibility. But I've taken, you know, most of the precautions that I feel like I can take to protect my life and property. And I just think we could probably do a whole lot more across the city to do better on that.
Barry, 20 seconds left. Any chance that we go in another 30-year dry cycle?
Hey, in the weather and climate business, we never say never. So the answer is sure, it's possible. And since we do have so little time, I mean, every story has a hero. Number 67, Shaw Eagles, baby.
Thank you, Barry. I appreciate it. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk with Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner, WWL.